Hey everybody, I'm C.
I'm Jen.
And you're listening to Tom Tit and Baobab.
Welcome back to Tom Tit and Baobab, the New York Times Spelling Bee inspired podcast that's all about words, word games, and the word nerds who love them.
Jen, I was at this really cool art show last night with Zane, and you would have loved it.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, there were 8 floors of art. And when I say floors of art, I can't really explain to you. Like, each floor was so big that you could have spent hours if you actually went into every little room. And we went because Zane's art teacher
Zane,
had
by the way,
a,
if anybody's listening and doesn't know who Zane is Cecilia's elder child.
How could you not know who Zane is? Anyway, he is an artist, and one of his art teachers had a art show there as part of this thing, Artomatic, which is in DC, and it's 25 years. Is Artomatic
25 years?
Yeah, next year you should come.
It sounds like I would need to be there for a month.
It kind of was. It was also so overwhelming that you're like, okay, I'm in, and now we gotta go.
Yeah.
But one thing I did see that you would have loved was this guy did something about Biden, and it was, what if we reimagine Biden in the same way they try to brand Trump? You know, that everybody's like, rah, rah, Biden, Biden's so amazing. Like, Biden can, you know, fly off helicopters. Biden rides snowmobiles naked in the winter. Yeah. It was really awesome. And he does these t-shirts about Let's Go Biden. And oh my God, they're awesome.
Wait, he did t-shirts and you didn't buy one?
Well, you can buy them on the website. It's really cool.
I'm going.
Yeah, it was really great.
I am going. I really want a picture of Biden.
Naked on a snowmobile?
Yeah. On a snowmobile. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Speaking of Biden, do you have any thoughts about the State of the Union address?
Jen, I couldn't. I know I'm totally for whatever he said. Sounds great, because I can't deal with the fact that we are actually having this election and that a-hole, who I won't even name, on the other side is going to run again. Like, I can't believe how much I was hoping that Nikki Haley was the opposition, so that at the very least, we probably wouldn't have the world end. You know, that was my thought.
We might survive for a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we don't have to talk about politics, but we could talk about ad-libs.
Ad-libs?
Yeah, because I don't know if you know this, since you couldn't bear to watch the State of the Union, but they said he made more off-the-cuff remarks or, like, responses to people than any other president in a State of a Union.
Really?
Address.
Nice. Yeah. See? It's sharp. Sharp Jim.
Exactly.
Yes.
Sharp Jim. Oh, we could rebrand that.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Oh, and then we could have like a pair of scissors with Joe's face on it. Or like a knife with Joe's face on it. I'm doing my own t-shirt line.
Absolutely. I love it.
But he did. He handled the hecklers really well.
Wait, there's hecklers at the State of the Union?
Have you ever heard of Marjorie Taylor Greene?
She's like the Joker. You're right. So gross.
So yes, there were hecklers at the State
of the
Union.
They're allowed to have.
It's terrible.
Yes.
Anyway, it was making me wonder.
Yes.
Because Joe was so sharp.
Right.
How do you think we would handle it if we had hecklers on this podcast?
Do you think we have hecklers about this podcast, but we just not hear them?
You know, I'm sure that we do, but that's the question. Like, what if we could hear them while we were saying
that? Oh my God. Well, I would curse. There'd be cursing, and I'd be happy about that. What would you do? Do you think you'd have snappy comebacks, or you think you would just cry?
I'd be like, why are you being so mean to us? We're just trying to bring joy into your lives.
I would laugh. Though my mother often actually heckles me and says, you know, basically like, actually, yeah, I totally have hecklers. I know what I would do about hecklers on this podcast, because my mother and my brother are always like, how do you not know that word? What's wrong with you?
I know, but it might be different if they were like doing it to you on the fly.
True. Well, how do you handle it when your mother heckles you about not knowing words?
I just tell her that she's old and she knows old people words.
Oh, you heckle back. I got you.
By the way, no. I can't believe I didn't tell you this, see?
What?
My mom wants her own segment.
Wait.
Like your mom has.
Wait, this is great. I thought your mom never wanted to come on.
She wants to come on now. It's going to be an old person word segment, but we can't call it old person word, obviously. So we've been trying to come up with a title. I think.
Wait, when does this start? Can it start now?
Wait.
Can she do the rest of this podcast?
We have to come up with a title.
Elderly hour. There we go.
Elderly hour. That's good. I thought we should call it words from the wizened.
Ooh, I like that too.
Yeah. She wanted to call it elder words. I thought that sounded a little bit like care.
Exactly. Like I like it. Facility. Elder words. Elder corner. Elder corner. Come on.
Elder corner. Yeah. That's nice too. All right. So let's think about this. We'll come up with a name. Zane's got to write some music. Speaking of Zane, who writes all
awesome.
Of our music.
Ready? I'll let Zane write it, but it's going to sound like this.
Anyway, that was a total tangent.
I love that tangent.
So then I was thinking about hecklers and like what we would do. And then I was thinking, like, do you think Sam thinks that we are hecklers to him?
Do you think Sam thinks that we exist? So I do appreciate, I have to tell you, that our wonderful listener Eleanor wrote us after Friday's B to say that she thinks Sam included a word that he never included before because of us.
Which is probably not true, but I love her for saying that.
Yes. Do you want to talk about which word that is?
Oh, we will.
All right. Then I think it's time to talk about the state of the B. Let's do it. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's get to the week in B's. This is the part of the show where we talk about bees from the previous week. Today, we're starting with Saturday, March 2nd, and ending with Friday, March 8th. Jen, do you want to talk first about the word that was finally included this week?
I think we have to.
All right. On Friday, March 8th, you ready?
Yeah.
Arancini! I was so excited. Now, I don't know what happened to you. I put it in because I always put in words that I know he doesn't accept, but that are really words. And then it was included. And I was just like, I was so confused because you know how I don't really always remember what's included
or not?
And then I was like, wait, am I crazy? This is never in before, right? And then I got the message from Eleanor. I was so happy. How about you?
I have to be honest. So this was not a great B week for me. I was in New York. I think in the end I got to genius on all of the puzzles. But it's because I went back and was like, I can't leave this without getting to genius. I didn't even get Arancini. I got Eleanor's message. I mean, it was late and she sent it late at night. So it wasn't like a spoiler or anything. And I was so upset that I missed that moment that you had.
It was a pretty good moment, I have to say. I was actually with Bob, my husband, and he did not understand why I was so excited.
Yeah. If anybody doesn't know what Arancini is, you need to go find out what arancini is.
Go to an Italian restaurant and ask them for arancini, and then go to Italy where you're going to have even better arancini. It's going to cost you like 50 cents and you're going to be really happy, including on the street as street food.
No, I've never had arancini as street food in Italy.
In Naples, they sell it out of little kiosk and it's like 50 cents and it's steaming hot. It's like deep fried rice balls. We had it in Rome, like stuffed with all sorts of stuff. Usually it's stuffed just with cheese, which, you know,
you're
pretty darn perfect.
You're making me so hungry for arancini.
Arancini. It's so good. We got home. I actually said I would make it for the kids, but I like baked some arancini. I can't do the deep fried thing, but it kind of needs to be deep fried.
You air fry it?
Yeah. But I love my air fryer more than anything, but it's like, it's not the same as a deep fryer if you want that crunch, but it was very good. Anyway.
Since we're on food words.
Yes. Do you have another food word?
Yeah. On Saturday, March 2nd, this was a word that reappeared, but the first time I ever got it in a puzzle, I guessed it. And this time I actually knew it. And that was GORP.
Yeah, so we've talked about GORP on this podcast, which I think is funny that he includes, but I'm perfectly happy
about
it.
I think it's funny that he includes it too, especially since he included it before arancini.
Well, you know, he's always got his weird words.
And I was going to tell people what GORP was.
People know what GORP is.
Do they know?
We have a very, very active group here. We have pentathletes. We have heptathletes.
I was really proud of myself when I got those two on Sunday, March 3rd.
Well, I wrote to you on Sunday, March 3rd, and I said, oh my God, this puzzle is making me feel so smart. Because not only did I get those words relatively quickly, I also had a bunch of words that were like chemistry words, like phthalate, that he didn't count. But I was like, I know what all these words are. Ha!
Yeah. It made me feel very non-athletic.
Because you're not a pentathlete
and heptathletes in the world.
I remember when first there was decathlete.
Decathlete?
I guess it was decathlete. Yeah, there was. Once there was the deck, it was deck something, I thought, and I was so excited that it was in the B. But
I don't think it was. I don't think decathlete is a word.
What was Jenner? The decathlon. That's what it was. The word that was in there was decathlon.
Yes. What did you say? Decathlon, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what was a word that day that I know has been in there many times, but I'm still like, why is this word in here?
I know where you're going.
And it's another kind of food word, a little bit, kind of.
Wait, are we talking about the same thing?
We definitely are. It's kind of a food word, I said. What? In that, like, you eat it, I think.
Wait, what? Wait, say what it is.
Nepenthe.
Oh, yeah. You don't eat it. I think
well,
you
it's a drug. It's a plant.
Wouldn't you drink it? The dictionary says it's a potion.
Well, it's a drug described in Homer's Odyssey as banishing grief or trouble from a person's mind, or it's a plant of a genus that comprises the old world pitcher plants. And you're right. In Merriam-Webster, they call it a potion. Let's just say that it's literary and a ridiculous word.
Well, I think it's a ridiculous word, too. And I also didn't get it, even though I knew there was something in there and I was like not finding it.
It's been in here before.
And by the way,
like, why doesn't phthalate count, but nepenthe counts? Ridiculous.
I don't know. Let's spell it. Nepenthe. But
you know why it counts? Because people want to be smart because everyone read the Odyssey in school and they want to be like, look, I remember this.
Nobody
I'm
remembers
so
the word nepenthe. I think it's nepenthe.
Nepenthes.
Nepenthes.
Is the double. Okay.
Anyway, and I don't think anybody remembers it from the Odyssey.
So then why is it in there, Jen?
I don't know. I know. I didn't. It probably is in there for people to feel smart, just like you felt smart when you got heptathlete. But
okay, heptathlete's a real thing. Nepenthe is not something you need to know in life.
Listen, I kind of like this idea because the second Merriam-Webster definition for nepenthe, did we say it was nepenthe? Or nepenthe.
I'm only looking up nepenthes, which is the only thing that's in the.
All right. Well, one way or the other, the second definition is a more general blanket definition.
Well, it's this plant.
No, it says something capable of causing oblivion of grief or suffering. So I could see like in a poem writing, if I knew how to pronounce it, that.
Well, it's a poem thing. That's the thing.
Yeah. I could see having it be metaphorical and not be an actual potion.
Okay. So apparently it's in The Raven twice, which I also appreciate. You know, Edgar Allan Poe, love him. But again, ridiculous. Come on. Ridiculous in a everyone should know this word.
You know what? I actually like it now.
That's fine because you're also obnoxious and poetic.
You could say that ice cream was an nepenthe.
Jen, ridiculous. Ridiculous word to me in the puzzle. We should all agree with that. Especially when tyrannic wasn't in the puzzle on Friday, March 8th. It would have been a pangram. I tried it maybe 400 times, not understanding why it didn't count.
I put it in. I kept looking like I was. See, it's left me. I can't even speak. Tyrannic, not in the puzzle. I put
you
it
needed
in
the nepenthe to forget about tyrannic.
I do for tyrannic. I tried to spell it 100 different ways. I looked it up. I kept putting it in. Could not believe that it wasn't there.
Yeah, so
finally,
confusing.
Saw somebody on Facebook who was like, "What is this about?" And was like, okay, so I'm not going crazy. And then you wrote me.
Yeah.
And I'm still stunned. I'm sitting here shocked, stunned.
Shocked, stunned. Can't
shocked
believe
it. Stunned.
One more thing that I was shocked about on that day.
Yeah.
And I know it's been there before. And I got it because I guessed it. But I don't understand, why is Carney in there?
Oh, we talked about this.
I know we've talked about it.
Because we talked about whether we thought it was offensive or not.
Of course it's offensive. And I don't understand.
Yeah, I think it's offensive too.
Like, why is it in there? I always go for it, but like, all these words are not in there, but then Carney's fine?
Why is porno in there?
Porno's not offensive. Carney's offensive.
It's not offensive in the same way.
Yes. And again,
it's offensive in the same way that nudie is.
Yeah, that's just offensive to you. Porno is fine. People like porn, and that's great. Can we talk about something I think is a trash word?
Of course.
All right. Ecotage.
Yes. Trash word. Oh, yeah, you know what? I haven't done a trash word video in so long. I'm totally doing one for Ecotage.
All right. This is Monday, March 4th. And I guess that word was coined, I'm just going to tell you, in a 1972 environmental action book. This is according to Wikipedia, so take it as you want. Mm-hmm. Right? And it basically is you're harassing people who you think are harming the environment. That seems, yeah, that's it's not like a real
sabotage,
word,
right? But eco-sabotage. Right.
I'm not for it.
I'm not for it either. I mean, I'm not for it in practice. And you know, I'm very into not harming the environment.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't believe in what Merriam-Webster calls destructive, well, obstructive action, maybe. But
I guess I don't really believe in harassing people, but
But obstructive is kind of different. That would be like, I'm going to tie myself to a tree, right?
The point is, this isn't a word. That's what I say. Or it's not a real word. Mom, we need you on too. You can join Elder Corner and talk about eco-trash.
Ooh, it would be like a mashup, Elder Corner trash words.
I love it. Well, we got to figure out when's that going to happen before the end of the season.
Hey, did your mom ever get the pangram yesterday?
I don't know. My mom had a problem finding the pangram. And mom, if you're listening, which hopefully you will eventually, I also had a hard time. The pangram was intricacy. Mm-hmm. But my problem was because I kept wanting it to be intra-cassy.
Oh.
And then when you look up intra, finally I was looking up how to spell it because I was like, this got to be a word. And then I was only seeing intra-kit. Am I nuts that intricacy is a word? And it like really took me so long to figure out, and I'm asking Bob, like, am I nuts that this is a word? He's like, I think it's a word. I don't understand.
You know, it usually takes me forever to get the pangrams. And that day, actually, that was the first word I saw.
I mean, I knew the word. Yeah. I just couldn't, like, I don't know why the spelling was so difficult for me. But yes, I don't know if she ever got it. We'll have to ask.
And I also was happy, not happy about it because I think it's silly, but happy that I knew Arnica that day.
Yes, I was too.
Although I have to tell you, I forgot what it was and I had to look it up again.
Oh, that's funny. So Arnica is like, is an Elder Corner word for some sort of salve or something, right?
No.
Isn't that true?
No, it's not. That's Ipecac.
Oh, that's Ipecac? What's Arnica again? I don't remember either.
Arnica is a flower.
Ah, wait, it doesn't have medicinal things?
Oh, it might. Yeah, you might be able to make like some sort of tonic out of it or salve. You're right.
Elder Corner. We could have a whole Elder Corner thing without just
an elder word.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we are old, so no ageism here.
Well, we're old, but we're not an Elder Corner yet.
Joe Biden.
On Tuesday, March 5th, I love the word armadillo.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that I was just at the Museum of Natural History with my nieces. Uh-huh. And we saw not an armadillo. Well, they probably had armadillos too.
Yeah.
But pangolin. What's
a pangolin?
Pangolin. Now, this is not alive, but man, are pangolins weird.
They are weird. And so guess what? They're also, I don't know whether they're like actually listed as endangered, but there's something about like pangolins being illegally put in stuff.
Ugh.
And really sad.
Well, they're very much like armadillos in that they're, you know, these like kind of armored mammals, right? And then you can see their hair sticking out from in there. It's just very weird. And I didn't even realize that an armadillo was a mammal until I went and saw the pangolin and then had to look
at
that.
What would you think it was?
Like a rat. I guess a rat's a mammal. I don't know what I thought. I mean, it's maybe a reptile. I mean, you know, I didn't think there was any hair on
an
armadillo.
They're actually kind of cute. I'm looking at a picture of one right now. So if anybody wants to learn about what's happening with pangolins, P-A-N-G-O-L-I-N, not in the B, and probably a word that Sam would not include because, you know,
oh,
Sam.
I hope so. Wait, there might be too many letters. Are there too many letters?
I don't think so.
P-A-N-O-G-L-I. Oh, good pangram, Sam. Oh, we'll
Sam
know he listens.
Pangolin.
Do it.
Yeah,
do it.
And it doesn't have any of the, like, you know, there's no S, there's no E-R. It's perfect.
God, it's so great.
There are 8 species. I'm on worldwildlife.org. So everybody should go check it out. And you probably can adopt a pangolin.
You probably should try to find a pangolin, bring it home, see what you can do about
it.
No. Oh, no? They're in China, right?
Adoption.
In China, mostly,
they are
with the pangolin.
In Asia. Yes, they're in Asia. There are 8 species of them found in 2 continents, Africa and Asia.
Oh, Africa
and
too.
Hmm. They range from vulnerable to critically endangered.
Poor pangolins.
I know.
You know, just because you brought it up, I looked a little bit about armadillos. Armadillos, or armadillos, as I like to say, they are in South America to the southern U.S., but they have different species. So the ones in South America tend to be the 3 bands, because, you know, those like layers of armor or bands, whereas in the U.S., it is only 9-banded armadillos.
That's interesting.
And they've become more and more northern over time because, you know, we're killing the world, so it's getting hot and more armadillos.
So So why do you think that they adapted that way? Or like, why do you
think I don't know that they adapt. I mean, I don't really know what the whole history is because this is not my deep dive.
Stay tuned, people.
But I did think about it just because I know you like
animals. The next housekeeping, you're going to get a whole armadillo lesson.
Armadillo.
Elephant was in this week too. I think it was a good week for animals.
Good week Elephant, for animals. Armadillo. Big, cool animals. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And benevolent.
And benevolent.
Benevolent.
Benevolent. I like the happy turn this is taking.
Yeah.
Jen, did you know that tact was a word on Friday, March 8th?
I did get that one.
How do you think I should tactfully tell you that? We need to move on to the next segment.
Please?
Please what?
That's how you would say it. We need to move on to the next segment, please.
Great. Thank you. All right, let's do it. Let's move on to the word of the week.
This is the part of the show where we take a closer look at one word from the previous week's puzzles. We take turns choosing the word, finding out about it, and reporting back on our findings. Last week, I did an ineffable deep dive on effable.
Ooh.
See, are you ready to top that?
Top it, I don't know. But I just told you that I was at the Museum of Natural History with my nieces and Gus, too. And you know what's at the Museum of Natural History, do you? Do you?
Dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs that are in a diorama. Right? So diorama was a word one of the days this week. And I like that word. I happen to see diorama. So I thought, let's talk about
Tuesday, March 5th, diorama.
Diorama. So diorama has two definitions. Mm-hmm. The first of which I did not really know, but I bet you did, art history lady, which is a scenic representation in which a partly translucent painting is seen from a distance through an opening. So, did you know about that?
I'm going to say that I did not know that that was called a diorama.
Okay, well, I will tell you.
Like, I'm imagining that set. Like, I feel like I know about that setup for art, but that I didn't know it was actually called a diorama.
Yeah, so this is the first diorama, comes from the French word diorama from 1822, from an assimilated form of the Greek dia, through, plus orama, that which is seen, a sight.
Okay.
So, and much of what I'm about to tell you about the picture diorama comes from a JSTOR Daily article called Diorama. ¿Qué es se que se?
I have no idea what you just said. And besides that, I was just impressed that you actually got an article from JSTOR instead of Wikipedia.
I did get an article from, I actually kind of had to go into this because I could not really picture.
It's so very academic of you.
Yeah, I couldn't picture what like the painting was, right? And I'm guessing since you didn't really think of it as the painting, you don't know who invented this.
It's the French, the 1822.
Diorama. Yeah.
French painters in 1822.
You're thinking painters. It's not. Let me tell you. 1822 by Louis Daguerre. Is that how you spell say his name? You know, the daguerreotype camera?
Yeah.
First photography?
Daguerre.
Yeah, so Louis Daguerre is like inventing all sorts of stuff at that point, okay?
Yeah.
But
he's very important in the world.
Yeah, so in 1822, he has people go to like this small, totally dark room with like, you know, fabric around it.
Yeah.
And then the scene you saw would change depending on how it was illuminated from the front and the back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so these diorama theaters become super popular in France.
I didn't know there were theaters.
Yeah, and then so they build them, some are traveling. And in the English word diorama, right, which is the same as the French word, but it's credited with starting in 1923 after Daguerre and another guy, Boutan, I don't know if that's how you say his name, Bouton, exhibit a diorama in England.
Okay.
That was the first time it was in England. And then they'd said, okay, we like this word in English too.
Yeah.
Okay. So that word, diorama, and the invention of the diorama also comes from the panorama.
Okay.
So let me tell you, this is a quote. Before creating the diorama, Daguerre apprenticed with the panorama painter, Pierre Prévost. Panoramas were a popular form of entertainment in the early to mid 19th century. Mm-hmm. The customer would stand on a raised platform surrounded by a highly realistic panoramic painting, as though on a mountain peak or atop a high building. The viewer would look out upon exotic locales, far-flung cityscapes, and historical battle scenes. Daguerre's diorama went several steps further by animating the scenes. So Daguerre makes these, like, he starts with the panorama, apprenticing there. Then he makes it more of like an interactive, things are moving. And then, of course, he becomes photograph, and then you get film.
This is so cool. And I love, because I didn't know about this whole interactive part of panorama or diorama.
Yeah.
And I love that they basically were like trying to do like filters and green screens.
Right. Yeah.
Before they existed, right? But this is, I have a question. So with the panorama and the diorama in this interactive setting, how did they capture it? Because it was before, that was before photography, right?
Right. So my understanding, if I'm kind of thinking about it correctly, is basically they painted something, but it's on like a screen, right? And then you're in this dark area, and then they have the light coming through different places. And depending on where the light is showing, different things are lit up.
But then how do they capture that?
What do you mean capture? There's no capture. You're in the theater.
Oh, it's just about your experience.
Oh, yeah. Just, I mean, you're in this thing. So actually, it's funny. This article talks about it being like VR, really. So it's like,
that was the other thing I was thinking about.
So it's like, wow. You know, beginning of film, but it's all, and you know, film starts making, dioramas are crazy popular through France, through England, through Germany at this point. But then when film starts, you know, that kind of takes over.
You know what is really interesting about this is I was having a conversation with somebody, I think with my niece, Sydney, the other day, where we were talking about movies, and she was talking about how much she likes the movies and how she's glad that we still have movie theaters and stuff. And I said, yeah, but you know, they're probably going to change eventually. We're probably going to have movies where we're like in the movie, where it's VR. And that
maybe
like
I wonder, because you know, VR makes me sick and I can't be the only person. And we already have that. They've tried that a bunch of times. And like 3D is that.
No, but that's different than actually like having the, like being in the movie and having it like surround you.
I believe that that might be a thing, especially as these VR cameras become more popular. Though I also wonder, who knows? I'm probably just old school, but I feel like there's also a reason for not having that too. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I think the reason is that they haven't perfected it yet, but I think that's where we're going.
I think that also people want to just be passive as well. So I think there might be.
We do, but we're going to die. And then there's going to be a younger generation who is not into that.
I think younger people like to be passive a lot too. Have you met them? Anyway, let's talk about
like be immersed in technology.
Okay, so now let's talk about the diorama that I think of as a diorama, which is what I saw at the Natural History Museum, which is the second definition of Merriam-Webster, a scenic representation in which sculptured figures and lifelike details are displayed, usually in miniature, so as to blend indistinguishably with a realistic painted background. That's actually more like the dioramas you make in elementary school, right? Or there's a life-size exhibit, as this is the B definition, a life-size exhibit as of a wildlife specimen or scene with realistic natural surroundings and a painted background.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that meaning of diorama, that starts in 1902, according to Etymology Online.
Okay,
and this comes from, obviously, the same idea as the original diorama. And this is mostly from a TED Talk, okay, about a guy who makes dioramas.
Okay.
Here's a quote. Until the late 19th century, most museums displayed taxidermied animals and other natural specimens in aseptic rows of glass cabinets. This changed in 1890 when Carl Akeley, A-K-E-L-E-Y, a taxidermist at the Milwaukee Field Museum, reimagined their presentation. What became known as the Akeley method involved creating a custom artificial environment for a group of animals. He makes this diorama of five muskrats, and it's in a set that has a den, reeds, logs, and sediment. Then he goes to work at the Field Museum in Chicago, and then the American Natural History in New York, and there's still the Akeley Hall of African Mammals there.
Uh-huh.
And this influences lots of science and art institutions where people go like, hey, we want to be like in the scene, just like the picture diorama. We want to be part of this. And it's interesting because this is something that was always a big deal when we were young. And now like with the internet, it's become less, but you know, there's some people really trying to bring it back in the art world.
Yeah.
It's super interesting. This whole thing.
It is interesting. And, you know, I think it's really complicated too, because you would see why he would want to do these things because to put them in context, to put the animals or whatever else he's doing in context. On the other hand, it opens up a whole new door to getting stuff wrong. you know?
Well, okay, you can't not do things because you could get things wrong. And
I'm just saying, like you're providing context, but then there's more things that you have to think about. Like, if you put a dinosaur in a diorama with people because you didn't know that then, and then you find out, then you have to redo your diorama.
Well, but that's part of the idea that without words, you can now see something and feel like, oh, I understand, like, what were these, you know, because there's lots of people of different, you know, times and places. And now I have a better sense of what it would be like to be in this, you know, situation.
Yeah.
So anyway.
See, while we're talking about dioramas, do you remember the best diorama ever made?
Was it at the Philadelphia Museum? Which?
It was made by us.
What diorama did we make?
In junior high school, we made a diorama from To Kill a Mockingbird.
We did?
Yeah. The court scene in To Kill a Mockingbird. I have a really vivid memory of
it. Like a little one? Like the one that you made?
Yeah, like one of those shoebox ones. Might have been a little bit bigger than that. But as soon as I saw the word diorama
that's
in the puzzle.
That's what you thought of?
That's what I thought of.
What's funny is I feel like there were many dioramas made by us when we were little. And I do not think my children have ever made a diorama. Isn't that sad?
That is sad.
All right. Do you want to hear my fun thing?
Of course.
Okay. So
wait, that wasn't fun? That was fun. Well,
I know that was all really good. And I know you, especially, hopefully, as the art person, appreciate it. But
I
also have to talk about Word-O-Rama.
Word-O-Rama.
So this is from Merriam-Webster. And I love when they have these little articles about, like, you know, random things. And this is about O-Rama. What is O-Rama and where did it come from? Right? So they are very in favor of the practice of tacking O-Rama onto the end of any existing word to say that it's awesome. And this apparently started with Smell-O-Rama in the 1950s.
I think I've heard of Smell-O-Rama, actually.
Yeah, and the idea that in the movies you were going to have Smell-O-Rama or that pictures were going to be Smell-O-Rama, which... Or, you know, smell-o-vision. Yeah. I mean, I am like, oh my God, how did this never happen? Because I always
about this because one day I was like, why don't we have smell in our movie theaters? And I looked it up and I was like, oh, because they already tried it.
So they have lots of examples of fun-o-rama, smell-o-rama, the Boy Scout-o-rama, camp-o-rama.
That is amazing. So, and I totally know what we're calling this episode now.
Diorama-rama-rama? What?
B&B-o-rama.
B&B-o-rama. Love it.
It's so good. It's almost unbelievable.
Almost unbelievable? All right, let's do it. Unbelievable words.
There are, in the words of our friend and fellow bee doer, Peggy Robin, Fusbee words, F-U-S-B words, frequently used spelling bee words. And in this part of the show, we talk about the complete opposite of that, unbee words, or what, see, I have decided to call newbie words, N-E-U-B words.
What are newbie words?
They are words that never N, ever E, you use. They're never, ever used in the B. Newbie words.
Nice. Yeah. I like it.
Newbie words are what this segment's all about. Things, words that we learned in places other than the B and got excited about.
All right. What is your newbie word today?
My word today is innominate.
So we're in nominating you? Is that what it is?
Yes. You've been nominated. You know what it's like? It's like when they read the wrong Academy Award winner and then they were like, no, no, no. That's not what innominate means, by the way.
Okay. I was like, oh, I got it. Good.
And it doesn't mean that you don't nominate someone.
I like that definition.
I do too. But it's not the actual definition. The actual definition is having no name, unnamed, nameless. Mm. Also, anonymous or not classified.
Mm.
It's used a lot with anatomy. They'll talk about innominate veins or innominate bones or innominate something or other. And it also is used in contracts. So there's like an innominate contract.
An unnamed contract?
I don't really understand anything about contracts. So I don't understand what that means. But I like the ability to use it with things so that you could call, you could say that something is innominate, right? Like if you were sorting things into piles and you had a pile for toys and a pile for books, and then you had a pile of like things that you didn't know what they were, you could call it your innominate pile.
Hmm.
Yeah. So my sample sentence is, quoted in dictionary.com from Sinister Street, Volume 2, the author Compton Mackenzie. The sentence is, "This was no London that he knew, this scented city of spring, this tropic gloom, this mad, innominate cavern that engorged them."
Nice.
That's in the nameless sense.
Gotcha. Yeah. Very literary, Jen. Nice word.
Well, you know, we're doing unbelievable words, literary is okay.
That is true. I told you I was
feeling all... You will never see that word in the beach.
Yes, I told you I was feeling all stressed out this week, so I had to pick... different kind of word.
Okay.
Eudaimonic.
I've seen this one. This one came in my Daily Mail.
Tell us about it. Good. Me too. Eudaimonic is producing happiness based on the idea of happiness as the proper end of conduct. So, for example, her eudaimonic air was attributed to the fact that she just got a promotion at work.
Very good. And do you want to spell that?
Eudaimonic. I would like if it was in the B, but I would never remember how to spell that. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 letters. Can't be in the B.
But you know what could be in the B?
What could be
in Nepenthe. The B? And it sounds like a Nepenthe could make you eudaimonic.
I don't think you can be made eudaimonic. Or
if you had a Nepenthe of ice cream. It would...
You're getting crazy, Jen.
Crazy or wild?
Oh, that's true. You're getting wild, Jen. I think we need the wild card.
See, do you want to tell new listeners what the wild card is all about?
Sure. Better yet, how about I sing it? In the wild card, we do what we want to do, say what we want to say, live how we want to live, play how we want to play, dance how we want to dance, kick and we slap a friend.
Woo! That is mostly true, up until slapping a friend part. If you did not recognize that tune, I guess we should cite it. It is The Addams Family by MC Hammer.
And just in case you want to know, with my fingers, I'm doing too legit.
Oh, I'm doing that now too, because we dance how we want to dance in the wild card.
Exactly. And I might slap you the next time we're in the same room.
Most likely you will try. Anyway, despite what you may be thinking, that the surprise in this wild card is that it turns into a slap fight between me and C, that is not true.
That would be fun. I would totally win. Of course, what we're actually doing today might also be fun. Jen, you want to set it up?
Absolutely. In the past, we have talked about a few games, C, that the New York Times started with beta testing. And that means that they basically were like trying these games out before finalizing them and deciding whether they were going to make them part of their permanent collection.
Yes. And this is how Connections got started, which is still going strong. And Digits, which, why is it not been continued? Boo!
And today, we're going to be trying out a new New York Times games beta puzzle. This is called Strands. I know nothing about this game other than it exists. You see?
No, I didn't even get the beta thing for it because you get all that crap and I never get it. I don't understand. I know.
This is a running theme.
All right, but you sent it to me, so let's check it out. I haven't looked yet.
All right, listeners, feel free to pause us for 1 second, but not permanently, to look up Strands on your game app or New York Times online paper. You really would think that New York Times would be sponsoring us already. Anyway, you can pause, find the game Strands, and play along with us because this is the first time we're ever doing this.
All right. Jen, you ready?
Let me open the link. Okay.
So let me explain what it says in the how to play. Find theme words to fill the board. This looks like a word search. I hate word searches. Do you like word searches?
I
think word searches are sometimes, so stupid.
I sometimes like word searches.
So you know, like Gus would like this. So you know, like word searches where you like go around and try to find letters, right? Like, so theme words stay highlighted in blue when found. Drag or tap letters to create words. If tapping, double tap the last letter to submit. Theme words fill the board entirely. No theme words overlap. So basically, this is just a word search. I think I'm not going to like
that. But they said there's a theme.
This example has banana and apple and lime. Uh-huh. And then the theme is fruit. And that highlights in yellow when you get it.
Okay. But then there's some sort of pangram.
No, there's no pangram. There's a spangram.
Oh, okay.
So basically, it's this stupid word search, and you can get hints.
All right.
Well, and the hint basically is, we'll tell you stuff.
All right. Well, let's try it. Today's theme, are you on today?
I just opened
today it. Today is March 9th, by the way. We're recording on Saturday, which we don't usually do. The theme is fragile, handle with care. So now we're looking for words that have to do with fragile.
I guess so.
Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so break, B-R-E-A-K. So I got a hint letter, but it didn't turn blue. So I guess if you pick things that...
Huh. I don't even see break in mine.
Well, that's because you're not very good at word search. And I got breaker.
No, I am good at word search. But wait a minute. Do we have different... Are your last
letters H-E-S-B-M-T?
Yes.
Okay, so if you go up from the B to B-R-E and then go A-K, but the thing is it doesn't even matter because these are words that give you hints, but
oh, wait,
they're not
so they
turning
don't have
blue.
To be, they
so
don't have to be all in a line?
Jen, do you know how to do words?
Yeah,
like
I do. I'm very confused because I have B-R-E and then K.
Jen, no, they don't have to be. They have to just B-R-E and then go to the left diagonal for the A and then go to the right
I'm
for
sorry,
the K.
You usually cannot do that in a word search.
Oh my God, it's crazy.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's good, but I'm saying that is not how a word search works. Normally, it's all in one direction.
Okay, so fragile, handle with care. I already do not like this game. I will say that.
I'm annoyed because this
to
is
find
not how it works.
That's going to turn. Okay, this one does. Sweat. See, like sweat. Wait, fragile, handle with care, and sweat is not only a word, it's a word that turned blue.
Yeah, why would sweat be in there?
I don't know. Mole got
me a hint.
Okay,
guess what?
What?
I just put in sweat and it didn't turn blue.
Wait, did you do it on the right?
Now it did.
Oh my God.
Yeah, okay,
Janice
did it. I don't like this game.
So the idea is that we've got to get everything, right? So since we got sweat, you're going to have to get something on the right side, right? So bread I got on the left corner.
I got you, but wait a minute.
I'm really good at this, as it turns out.
Did break actually turn blue for you?
No, it gave me a hint. So, again, you didn't...
Oh, that's because it has to be straight down. That's because I was
right.
No,
it doesn't. Go to bread on the top left corner. That's not why. The point is there's words that give you hints, but don't count as, like, the word, because in the end, you have to have everything covered. Does that make
sense? I'm not getting any hints. No, because I think mine is not working.
No, that's not... I'm so glad we're doing this.
Come on. I need to do it on my phone.
Ben, you are
not
just
good.
Not.
I don't like this game. No, it's not. Where look, I just put in bread exactly like you told me to.
Okay, promise. Okay, turn blue.
Bread did turn blue when I clicked it.
Oh my God. Are you people listening to this? So the thing is, everything's got to turn blue in the end, right? So see now in the right-hand corner where you have the E-D-L-R-C-O?
Yeah.
Right? So you can't leave anything like not connected.
Yes, I see that. Would that be cord?
I don't know. Let's try it and see if
it
works.
No, that got me a hint.
Exactly, right? And the thing is, you have to get everything,
so wait.
And it can't be like a two-letter word. So I got record. That's what that upper
right
hand is.
Roar, which gave me a hint.
Right. We don't care about the hints because we're really trying. So right now I have the E, the L, the B, the A, and that kind of thing that all needs to be used. And it's not able, but I think it's breakable. Breakable.
Oh, that's smart.
The thing. So breakable is the span.
I see that.
I just got it. Mold is another blue. Oh, it turns out I'm very good at this.
I did get mold. You are really good at this. I think I'm terrible at this
because there is
mainly because I didn't understand it for a long time.
I do appreciate the little bit of logic that's needed to figure out. Okay, what do you have to do? Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Because I've got this like E over here. I've got now. An E and an E and a T all in a place, and I have to figure out how to get that.
Yeah, and then once you have gotten down to that, right, then you're basically – it's kind of like the B because there are kind of like letters left that you have to put into a word.
No. We're just going to get it all done.
No, but do you understand what I'm saying?
No, not at all. I think you don't understand how this game works.
Because you can't reuse letters.
Right. But the point is
once you have it down to a pocket of letters that you haven't used yet, then you know that you have to find the word that's in those letters. And that's kind of like the B.
Okay, but that's not too hard.
Like it's
I got it. I finished the puzzle.
All right.
Then you know what?
That's good enough. I'm still figuring out the puzzle.
So what do we think about strands?
We'll see. We need to play it some more. I need to actually understand it. I think it's going to be okay.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be great. But I definitely don't think it's better than digits.
Nothing's better than digits. Bring back digits, New York Times. I want
New York
digits.
Times. We want our digits.
And that's it for this episode of Tom, Tit, and Baobab.
Thanks for being with us. We drop a new episode every Monday, so come back next week for an episode with a special guest who you won't want to miss.
That's right. Oh, next week. Exciting, exciting. And it's not even Elder Corner yet. In the meantime, go ahead and be in touch. You can connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, or email us at tomtittenbaobab@gmail.com.
We want to know all about the bees you like, bees you hate, words you missed, words you'd like to know about, and what you think about strands.
If you like TNB and never want to miss an episode, subscribe or follow us.
Even better, leave a rating or a review unless you're heckling us. This helps other word nerds and puzzle lovers find our very indie podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.